Good morning, brethren. I'm happy to see all of you that made it here. We certainly welcome everyone out on the webcast. Again, I think those who tune in do know, but this is the United Church of God, the St. Petersburg Congregation. And we are located in Largo, Florida, and it's a rainy day today. But most of us... Hopefully are either here or on the webcast itself. In my studies for this split sermon, I do want to give credit to Scott Ashley, who gave a sermon. I do want to give credit to Mark Mickelson, also with a sermon. Our Bible commentary, and then actually... Three more commentaries, Matthew Henry, Bible Henry, Bible Commentary, Chuck Smith, and David Gulick. And then, of course, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, who I use a lot. Today we're going to concentrate on John chapter 5. We will be having several passages of Scripture to read, too. But I want to open up just to tell you... What the subject is and what we're talking about. Now, this concerns the healing of a lame man at the pool at Bethesda. The lame man had suffered for 38 years. And probably, as it was said from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, this was probably the most pitiable of all cases, and therefore, you know, he was selected by Jesus Christ to heal. Bethesda itself means the house of mercy. And it certainly fits with this for the sick and the diseased who had come down. And it was stated that when the waters were troubled, I'm sure that was talking about rippling, the first person into the pool would be healed no matter what their ailment was, which is quite a miracle just in and of itself. It was a signal that there was a descent of an angel who was accomplishing this. And again, whoever first stepped in was the one who would be healed. The lame man was so lame that he would go to the pool, but whenever he saw the rippling of the waters, he could not get up and get into the pool first. Therefore, someone else would step in front of him. They would be healed. Jesus came forward, and I think we all know that he just said, take up your pallet and walk. And that's John 5:1. Now we know that the religious leaders had rules as to what you can do on a Sabbath and what was considered an unnecessary burden. They had so many rules, and I heard this from Scott Ashley, I had not heard before, that you were not supposed to wear sandals that had nails in them because the nails provided extra weight, and that was causing you to work more to walk into the temple, and therefore it was an unnecessary burden. They also said you couldn't have a sewing needle. Women couldn't bring that because they're not supposed to sew, so don't bring anything of that nature. They even had it for if someone came in with a wooden leg, they were not supposed to use that prosthesis. It was not something of life and death. And again, that would be an unnecessary burden. Same reasoning for anyone who had false teeth they weren't supposed to have. So picking up and carrying a bed on a Sabbath certainly was going to provoke people to notice what is going on, and certainly was going to get the person who did this, the lame man to do this, in a lot of trouble. Again, this is a variation of a rabbi's interpretation of the commandment against doing work or business on the Sabbath. It was not breaking law on God's law of breaking on the Sabbath, but a human interpretation of what was done. And this is by David Guzik, Bible Commentary. Okay, Jesus was accused now of breaking the Sabbath because he was instructing someone to work by doing something far more than what must be done. In ordinary circumstances, the rulers of the law, the rulers had the law on their side. And let's turn to Nehemiah, one we don't turn to a lot, but turn to Nehemiah 13, and we'll start with verse 15. Nehemiah 13, we'll start with verse 15. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Dropping down to verse 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day?" Verse 18. Did not your fathers do this, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on the city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Again, I think an easy example of working on the Sabbath where they're bringing in their own wares to make a profit on the Sabbath. But then turning to Jeremiah verse 17. Jeremiah verse 17. Verse 21. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day I commanded your fathers. Two good examples, but we all know this. We have a fourth commandment. We also are here on the Sabbath. But here is Jesus intentionally telling someone to break what he knew was going to be a controversial act, and that is to do an unnecessary burden on the Sabbath. Why is this unnecessary? The man suffered for this for 38 years. He certainly could pick up the bed at sunset. Let's turn to John 3, and then we will finally get to John 5. John 3, verses 1 and 2. Because we also want to set the stage as to what was going on at this particular time when Jesus told this man to do this. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is